The UPMC Sports Medicine Experts in Central PA are here to help keep you in the game and improve your quality of life, no matter your age or activity level. Visit upmc.com/centralpasportsmed to learn more.
Welcome everyone to another exciting edition for the Pennsylvania High School Football Report. I'm Brian Linder. I'm here with Dan Sostek. Dan, let him hear your voice.
Hi.
Hi. All right. Eric Epler. He's also here. Hear your voice up.
Welcome to the show, fellas.
You guys know what they sound like now. If you listen to the podcast, you would know anyway. You're new. We all got faces probably made for the radio in the podcast game.
Speak for yourself, Linder.
we were born for this. Why I had him turn off the video. Now we just use a graphic. So I don't know. Dan goes to the gym. He works out. He's staying in shape. So I used to pick at Nebby about his gym exploits. So
you can make fun of me all you want. I'm not Nebby. I'm a terrible athlete, a terrible lifter. I do it to tell my friends that I'm at the gym to impress them.
Listen, so. You told me you were 9-13 your senior year in wrestling.
Oh, no. I said I was 9-33 in middle school, and eight of those wins were against the same kid or something. But let's go 9-13. No one's going to check the record.
On the gym trip, do you hit the pre-workout?
Oh, no, I can't. I can't do that stuff.
Look, I get these hits. I'm going to come. Pre-workout's on me. I'll come over to Planet Fitness or wherever you work out at.
I'm not telling because I've seen some high school athletes recover at the gym, and I have to dip my hat down a little bit.
We're gonna double up on the pre-workout. That's how you got it. Whatever they recommend you take, you do double. Actually,
I'm fairly certain somewhere in my gym had a cardiac arrest.
Don't do that. You don't do it, okay? Because it's gonna put you in UPMC, which is our sponsor. You don't want to go.
Yeah, I am pretty sure that my specific gym had someone undergo cardiac arrest because they had too much free workout.
So. Listen, I'll tell you what, man, some of the stuff, especially, I think they've tapered it down a little bit there. But for a time there, I'd say in, about 2004, 2005, you had pre-workouts out there that were wild. Man, you had one that was recalled because it had weed killer in it.
Yeah, I'm good just drinking coffee and I drink some of those Celsius energy drinks. Those are pretty good.
Black coffee is a, if you wanted to go with like the healthiest, if you wanted the quote unquote pre-workout, that's probably the healthiest thing.
Coffee,
but I know you like, Snickerdoodle coffee.
You're misrepresenting. I drink my coffee black. It is just infused. It's like it's the beans that are infused. I don't put anything in my coffee. Drinking black coffee right now.
Great black coffee. All you need. You don't even really need that.
Yeah.
You get in that gym. I will tell you what's good, Danny. Get you a little arginine. You get a little pump going, man.
Yeah, I'm just trying to
You got to hit the biceps.
I do hit the biceps.
Yeah, you get that pump going, man. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well,
this is workouts with Brian Linder, who's really, really overweight right now and needs a double hip replacement.
Yeah, it's never good when I'm in the best shape of. I'm the one going to the gym the most of the three of us because I'm. Not very good at it.
at least you're going.
Yeah.
I never got a picture of Nebby. I used to give Nebby crap. I never got a picture of him lifting weights.
Yeah.
But I never got a picture of him lifting weights. So Nebby, if you're listening, still haven't got a picture. Occasionally I'll text him and remind him because I'll see where he says he's working out. But anyway, Epler.
You.
What's going on, man?
Nothing. My workouts consist of cutting up trees. Trees continuously fall.
He's a real man.
I just move lumber around. I cut it up. I take it up to the dump. And then I do that about six times a week.
You got the proper haircut for it.
Right, my trees just fall down. That's it. That's my workouts.
I liked it as Eric's talking to us, he's brushing his beard. Epler and I are still participating in No Shave November.
That's right.
In March. So
my beard doesn't grow in properly. I like keeping the 3 o'clock, the whatever shadow. I never get the time right. What is it? 3 o'clock shadow, 6 o'clock shadow.
5:30, whatever.
5:30 shadow. I have a shadow.
Well, listen, enough of this tomfoolery. We're supposed to be talking football. And this week we got a pretty good guest. We got Cumberland Valley coach Josh Oswalt coming on here. I'm going to talk to him. Guys, he's waiting on us. Let's dive in.
The UPMC Sports Medicine experts in Central PA are here to help keep you in the game and improve your quality of life, no matter your age or activity level. Visit upmc.com/centralpasportsmed to learn more.
Hey guys, we have our guest this week, Cumberland Valley head football coach Josh Oswalt.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Got a lot of stuff going on. Before we kind of get to some of the stuff you've been doing with the All-Star Games, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you guys coming back for Cumberland Valley next year. I know you guys have been kind of steadily building up there since you came over from Central York, came back home, I guess. I don't know if my guy Ross Tucker called you, but he was texting me a couple of weeks ago about Nolan Mazzalka. I probably messed his name up, but I mess everybody's name up.
You got it.
And,
right on.
And there you go. And I know you got a couple of guys. Tyler Merrill, obviously, just got an Alabama offers, got some big-time offers. How are you guys looking heading into next year?
I mean, still to be determined. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to do. Got some big names to replace. But the offseason has been pretty good, and leadership is stepping up. That's a big piece with winter time is, who's going to kind of emerge as a leader and take charge of the squad. And we've seen some guys kind of take charge. And I like what I'm seeing throughout the winter and as we head into spring.
Yeah, Coach, Brian kind of mentioned Nolan, but just as a football coach, he's coming off obviously a pretty awesome basketball season where he took a big step there. Just as a football coach, how excited do you get kind of watching that from afar? I mean, I know some coaches are pretty big on the, hey, I don't want you to specialize. I want to see you guys do other sports and things like that. I've said he doesn't really play like a pass rusher on the basketball court. He's a pretty multidimensional football player. How cool is that to see him lead CV to a district title?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I was glad that he was able to be a part of it. Cam Wolf is on that team. Adam Somerville, who we lose, who's graduating, he was on the team. And Sam Parsons, who's a younger guy that's coming up through. So I love watching those guys in the offseason and have a great relationship with Coach Vesmiani. I was very proud for him. He's done a great job with that program. And I think it's allowing Nolan to show his attributes away from the football field. And I think that's going to help him, gain some credibility in the recruiting process.
He still doesn't have an offer yet, right?
Correct.
I know Ross was pretty surprised about that. I mean, what's his height and weight right now? What do you see as the upside for this kid? And what are people missing out on, you think, right now with Nolan?
No, I just think he's 6'3", he's 230. You see how he moves on the basketball court. Very fluid. He's smooth with his movements. He's a big man that can dribble up the court. He can play down low, bang down low. he's got soft hands that translate to the field. His explosiveness at defensive end, his ability to run routes on offense, and still make plays on the ball. But also, he's a heck of a blocker, and he allows us to, run the ball as much as we did last year too.
So, I mean, next level, you think is a tight end, defensive end?
It's tough. I mean, it depends on who you talk with. I mean, we've had conversations with Temple, defensive coordinator, loves him. And then obviously Colgate, Villanova, and those. And I guess he's going down to Virginia Tech next week. And I'm not sure which side of the ball they're looking for him at. But, both sides of the ball still to be determined where he's going to end up best.
Tyler Merrill's the big recruit for you guys. I know a couple years ago, Dan did, I think, the first story on him where you guys were, I think, Dan, you said he might be a guy that Alabama comes through here for, and they did. Just wasn't Nick Saban. Where's he at now through 2 years with you guys, and what have you seen from him? What are colleges seeing from him besides the fact that he's huge? And And what's the upside on him still, you think?
Well, the cool thing was Bill O'Brien actually was the first Alabama coach to come in for Tyler last spring, days before he was accepted as the offensive coordinator at in New England. So that was pretty cool. Now, I don't often get starstruck, but Bill O'Brien was pretty cool to see him come through. But you know, what they're seeing now is, you know, he has always been a big body, but he's growing into that body. And just, you know, the maturation process, the leadership that he's bringing, his ability to continue to bend and play it at lower leverage levels. And, you know, they like good character people too. And I think Tyler checks all the boxes there. He's a jovial big man that, you know, when you get him on the field, he wants to rip your face off.
Yeah, and he was pretty raw coming in, right? I feel like a decent amount of linemen, you know, they're kind of just the big bodies at first, but do you feel like it feels like he's also a pretty versatile piece, right? You can play him. I know Rivals, I think, lists him as a guard on their website, but you guys play him I'm sure he played him all over the line. Is he kind of grown into that ability to kind of be that flexible piece as well?
Yeah, I mean, he can pretty much go wherever we need him to. He ended up being a mainstay for us at tackle the last 2 years because that's where our needs were. Not quite sure with projections if that's where he's going to stay for us in his junior year, but we know we can put him at center if we need to, or he can pull at guard, which is a scary, scary thing to see. But he does a damn good job of it, and he understands the offense. He understands the game. So, you know, he's really worked hard on his footwork and flexibility and all the yoga stuff throughout this offseason to this point.
Josh, I wanted to ask you, obviously, you know, we had Lance Dean on here. He was talking about it some from CD East. You guys are playing in Commonwealth. I remember a few years ago when you were at Central York, you come in here and you guys played Harrisburg in the playoffs. You talked about how tough it was to play teams from over here. Obviously, you know, Bishop McDevitt's coming into the division now. Harrisburg's planning on having some big-time transfers, which we just reported on last week. It's a tough conference, man, and you're talking about to be determined, right, with you guys. What do you have to do to get ready to play in this conference? How tough is it to coach and play in the Mid-Pink Commonwealth right now, you think, and what's ahead with what's been added to the division?
Well, I mean, no days off, man. You know, the proof would have been 2022. We were getting things going, We lose to Carlisle in a game tight, and then we jump up on State College that following week, and we're up like 21, 24 points in the first quarter, and then lose a lead by the second half. I mean, it's you know, you can't really, there's no room for breathing. Last year, you know, every game was tight, every game was tough. We had Harrisburg, we were up, I think, what was it, 7-7 or something in the third quarter. And then let things go. You know, tight win against Central Dolphin. Every week it's something. You know, overtime win against Central Dolphin East. There's no days off. There's no time to breathe. And you know, only adding McDevitt and Cedarcliff is only going to add to that tension you know, stress and pressure to play well at all times.
Yeah, I don't think we really mentioned Cedarcliff too much. But Cedarcliff is consistently a pretty darn solid program. I think it's one of the best divisions, maybe the best division in the state from top to bottom as far as consistency and just tough athletes. I mean, where do you think this ranks as?
I mean, I don't think there's anything close. I mean, there's no disrespect to anyone across the state, but there's no semblance of a league that is like this. I mean, there really isn't. There's no bottom feeder. There's no true top dog. I mean, there's teams that are very good year in and year out, but there's no, like I said, no days off. I mean, you look across the state, and whether it's the western part where they have to fill, with 5A's or other schools from different areas, or you go down to District 1 because it's so large in size that they don't play all the top teams across District 1 until they make the playoffs. I think there's no competition to the size of our league and you know, you never know who's going to come out on top.
Yeah, I mean, even Chambersburg is, you know, they're the defending state champs in track. So a lot of those kids are on the football team. You got JJ Kelly probably returning to football as well. And they're a program that, you know, traditionally is kind of finish more a lot more in the bottom of the league, but still, I think they played you pretty tough for a couple quarters last year too. In a down year, it's really no days off in that Commonwealth.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, not to mention Chambersburg is a really good basketball team too. I mean, those kids are playing on the football field, and that's how it always has been. I think, obviously, the Chambersburg Cumberland Valley days back in the 90s and Harrisburg. Yeah. And now you add State College more recently, and then obviously McDevitt comes back and they bring Cedar Cliff, who was a top competitor in the 90s, and Coach Gillen has that thing rolling again. So, it's exciting. That's why I came back here. I like to prepare to play the toughest competition, and I think it makes our kids the best they can be.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about this combine coming up for you guys. Is this something I don't know if I saw this last year. Is this something you guys just sort of adopted this year, or something that you guys have been thinking about? Just give me the process of what's going to happen here on, I guess, early next month, right?
Yeah, so we're talking, I'm assuming you're talking about our combine, not the one the SFCA. Yeah, so it was a thing, we just had a staff meeting Monday, and our numbers, we have a really great problem that our weight room is over capacity, and we have a waiting list to get in the weight room. And we want to give every kid an opportunity to showcase what they can do. So if they're a non-spring sport athlete, we expect them to be in attendance, and we're going to test them in 40 times and pro agility, all the things that we would get in a true combine, but also do position specific training with our coaching staff. And basically what we'll do is that's how we're going to build our spring roster. And then the following 5 weeks, we're going to run our spring football season. Again, non-spring sport athletes, but still kids that we got to take a look at and see how we're going to jostle them and move them around and see where we're going to put them. So I think it's a great idea coming out of our coaching staff meeting. An opportunity for us to work with these large numbers and figure things out before summer hits.
How many guys are you guys carrying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, excluding the 15 or so that's at track, there's a couple of baseball, lacrosse, there's over 20 kids in spring sports. We have 3 hours of weight training and field training that we hold at 30 to 33 kids in each group. And then we have a waiting list over 20. So we're looking at 130 range. Now that's rising. There's rising ninth graders in there in the mix right now, but that's not all of them. We haven't fully identified all the eighth graders moving up to ninth grade, but the majority of them are signed up and involved. There's also a ton of them in spring sports because we have junior high track and other things going on. So, yeah, I mean, there's an easy number is 130 in the varsity locker room. We're pushing 100. So
you got to love that. I mean, that's a good problem. And not everybody has that problem.
No, I mean, I think that's just through like over communication and, really vetting every kid out. If a kid thinks that he wants to play football, we'll give him an opportunity. But at the same time, we're still holding him accountable. If Eric Epler wants to miss a lifting, he needs to make sure that he communicates that through his lifting group. And if they don't know, we open his seat to somebody else because we have 20 some guys waiting to get in there.
Eric Epler is never missing a lift in there.
That's why that was a bad example, and I apologize for that.
Yeah.
It's all about the squats, Coach. It's all about the squats.
Yep.
Dan doesn't lift heavy, though. Just ask him.
Hey, it's about
he's high volume.
No,
he looks more like a CrossFitter.
Yeah.
Mountain trails, stuff like that.
Coach, we've had you on here about 15 minutes. I wanted to talk to you some too about the All-Star stuff. I know, first of all, I think you're involved a little bit more with the Big 33 committee and stuff like that. And tell us what all you guys got going on there and kind of what you've been working with them.
Yeah, just a lot. Where the association's just continuing to grow. And my title is now the Associate Executive Director with the PSFCA. And I work with, Gary Cathell as our Executive Director. And we have... Homer Delatre is the executive manager of the West Coast coaches, and he's out of Hollidaysburg. And Mike Farr is the executive manager of the East Schools out of Schuylkill Haven. And, you know, we have a ton of events coming up. Obviously, we have the Big 33 game on May 26th, but the Sunday before that, we have the East-West All-Star Games. We have a small school game for all single to triple A schools. May 19th, that's a noon kickoff. And then we have the big school game at 5 p.m. That kicks off. That's the quad A to 6A schools. You know, I'm the head coach of the West for the big school. John Donnelly is the head coach of the East from Central Bucks East. Small school game is Coach Pat Mason. For some reason, his school is slipping my mind. I'm not sure. But the head coach of the small school West, it's Roger Beidle out of Ligonier Valley. We have two unbelievable rosters on both sides for both games. Kids from mid-state, but also from Case in the entire state. So practices for that will be kicking off in the next month. The East-West practice, end of April. Big 33 will report to Cumberland Valley May 4th for their first practice. And just a lot of events leading up to it. The May 19th game pretty much kicks off the week of Big 33. Lots of cheerleaders on campus practicing for their things. Buddies will report. Maryland will get up here on Thursday. And our Pennsylvania kids report on Wednesday. Match them up with their host families, do all those things and different events with pep rallies and you know, different clinics and stuff like that. So there's just a lot of different events that we're organizing, planning, and working across all the different committees within our association.
Coach, I know a lot of people ask me about the selection process for PA, and I know it hasn't changed much. There have been little tweaks on how you guys operate. But it's completely different. I always tell people too, it's completely different than what Maryland does. I mean, Maryland has the combines, and then the invitation only to the second one, and then they base their team off that. Have you guys ever talked about maybe doing more than maybe tweaking how PA selects, or has that been a process that's really you guys feel really has worked for you well? I mean, it's not like the rosters have been bad at the Big 33 level. There's not a lot of wrong choices when you're talking about, you know, 40 to 45 guys, basically, you know, breaking down for the team. But just in your opinion, has that been discussed on maybe how to tweak the selection process or not?
Yeah, we honestly talk about this all the time, and it has evolved tremendously, even in the last couple of years that I've been a part of it. Gone are the days where you bring the VHS tapes, you sit in a room, and you right. Look at all the film, and that's what happened before my time. I think I really truly believe in our process. I think our directors and our board of directors do a phenomenal job. We're all broken up into committees according to position groups. We view film, we evaluate through different criteria. We share all of our notes within our committees, and then we end up going up to Penn State and sitting in position group meetings for additional hours to rank everyone top to bottom from across the state. I think the big piece is our membership needs to continue to grow. And what a lot of people might not know is your coach and the program needs to be members of the association in order to be considered for selection. And, you know, that's common and across the country and how things are done. But that's the big thing. The other thing is, are the coaches nominating the kids? And, you know, there's often times where we get ridiculed because the coach didn't nominate the kid. And, you know, there's 560 some schools in the state of Pennsylvania that have football. And for us, 38 in the room to have a pulse on whether the kid got nominated or not, but before that meeting is impossible. So it's important for us to educate all the coaches and all the football programs across the state that this is how this happens. You become a member, and then that allows you to nominate and make sure you're nominated. And then again, I believe in the process that we do. I think Maryland, I was able to meet with their staff. Or their leadership 2 weeks ago, and how they do things. And I believe, again, my opinion, we do a much more thorough job than they do even. So, and I think that has shown in how the game has, the results of the game the last couple of years.
And what's the Super Bowl streak? Isn't it a 58 straight Super Bowls with a big 33 alumni in the game or something
that's
like that?
That still holds true. And we're actually rolling out, and if we haven't announced this yet, they can slap my hand, but we are now recognizing early enrollees, and we have a process that we're going to put into place to, you know, if a kid always had a dream of being a part of the Big 33 game, but he's no longer able to do that because he's already enrolled in school, we want to start recognizing those kids on the roster, because again, we would have selected them, and we want to make sure that we honor them as well. So we have some different ideas that we're going to do with that this year, starting this year.
Josh, I'll ask you, how much does it cost to join a coach association? I know it's fairly affordable. I did the story.
So those are things that are constantly changing too, but I believe it's $75 for a single head coach to be a member of the association. And then there are some like discounted rates until it gets to this point. If you become a member leading up to the before the clinic, I think it was $85 for a single coach. There was a $500 rate for an entire staff to become member of the association, which that got you a clinic, a ticket to the clinic, and you were able to attend a clinic at no cost once you got to the clinic. So there's some different things that roll out of that membership committee.
I think that's one of my critiques of it, Josh. When I look at it, I think it's fairly affordable, but I think if you have a kid who's clear cut, one of the best in the state, and he wants to play in the game, and you can't pick him, the coach didn't pay $75. That's punishing the kid, in my opinion, because his coach didn't pay you guys money. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think that's really fair to the kids. I mean, have you guys talked about that some? Is there any way you guys can address that?
Well, and I think we do. I think we handle it on the back end. I think it's just one of those things that, like, I'm not going to speak on it. It's never happened in my tenure, and I've been involved as a board of on the board of directors since 2017. You know, if a kid comes up in conversation, a coach will contact me and hey, why is this kid not on there? And I can answer it. And that's the answer. Usually we find ways to work things out. It's not it's the right thing to do, but it's obviously not the like protocol thing to do. But we want to make things right. I mean, it's for the kids. Our association is built to honor and support our game with our kids and coaches, and we don't want to punish anyone, to use your words.
I've told Gary Cathell that too. It's just one of the things, like, I was like, yeah, it doesn't seem fair, and I would hope that, you know, if you have a kid in that situation, that there's a way to account for it. So, and at the same time, I mean, coaches, I mean, $75, but hey, we got, you know what, it's free to turn in stats, and we got coaches in the state who, we still can't get the PIAA to mandate people turn in stats. You know, we could imagine if the PIAA had a statewide leaderboard for everybody, how amazing that would be. So yeah. I think there's some places we can go there. I know I put you on the spot a little bit there, Josh.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, to speak on that, if I could, since I have the opportunity, is, you know, I think our coaches across the state aren't educated. We need to do a better job as an association to educate them. You know, once our coach becomes a member, they are now privileged to a $1 million liability. So any clinic or camp that we want to coach, we have access to $1 million liability through our association. And, you know, obviously that's a huge perk, in my opinion. We all want to do different camps and things with youth or even with our own kids. That's a huge perk, but obviously the selection is another one. And then there's voting things that come out when we replace our board of directors and have elections for our board of directors. You know, if you want to say within the association, you need to be a member. I mean, that's pretty standard.
Coach, I don't expect you to know an exact number of the 563 schools that are members, but I've sort of estimated that you're right around 60% maybe that are members of the, you know, Pennsylvania State Coaches Football Coaches Association. What number are you at, you know, basically, so we sort of know, you know, maybe there are kids out there that, you know, are not being selected or at least not being nominated. from coaches who are not members.
Yeah, Gary's less than that right now, right?
Yeah, significant. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It was an educated guess.
Yeah,
that you're in that
we're below in that half. Ballpark. But. We're below 50%, and we need to do a better job of reaching the different points of our state that don't feel like they're recognized, and we recognize that we need to do that, and that's part of our push with the structure that we operate from, and that has changed over time. And we need to have a better outreach to the Erie and to Pittsburgh and up to District 2 and 4 and all those folks up there. And I feel like now that we added the small school game, we are recognizing the smaller schools that are out there in District 7 and 2 and 4 and even 9 and 10. But we haven't really received much in response of membership from those areas, just from select schools. So
I think was District Philly out in Philly. I think one of the issues when we did the story about Big 33 not having a minority coach through 66, now 67 years was I talked to Gary. I think Philly had I'm not even sure anybody in that district was signed up in the coaches association. And I think that's maybe, I think they got, you guys got Devin Johnson in there. I don't know, but I mean, that's a big example right there. I mean, Philly had a very low membership, if I remember correctly.
We are, and again, I Mike Farr has done a nice job as the executive manager of the East to kind of get into Philly. And, we just added Malik Jones from Martin Luther King, unbelievable coach and a lot of energy. Rick Preet from Roman Catholic just joined the board of directors as well. And great ideas coming from them. We need to do a better job of reaching out to the folks in Philly. Every coach that I've met in Philly, I've had a great relationship with. Devin's been involved for a handful of years now. Those are things that, again, we recognize we got to do a better job of getting into District 12. I feel like we have great directors out of District 1. It's just a matter of, blending those two districts together to just grow that corner of the state. And we have seen a lot more District 12 memberships come through because of the groundwork that's been laid.
Well, I do think you guys are making some good moves there, man. And look, we've kept you on here. I think I told you like 15 minutes. We're going on 30. So anybody else got anything else for Josh Oswalt?
Bo going to run another camp at CV this summer?
I haven't really talked with him too much lately. Cade's back and he's no longer in. He's done. He retired. So he's back working and he's establishing himself down here. I'm hoping to get him on the sidelines with me this fall and add him to my staff. I just saw Bo up at Penn State in January. He looks great. Great attitude, everything that he's got going on up there. And really excited about the fall, obviously a spring first, but excited about the new offensive coordinator, new staff coming in. And I don't know. He'll be around, but I don't know if he'll be running the camp or not.
Yeah. He's such an interesting case because I feel like in this era of transfer portal stuff, a lot of people in his position, would have kind of just went for a layup starting quarterback job. And I don't think that's the way he's wired, really.
I was going to say he's built different. He likes to see things through. He got a good head on his shoulders. He has a good plan, and he wants to see this through and see how things go this fall.
I won't put Josh in the headlines here. I'll just say it, though, if he keeps on getting in there and making plays, eventually, when you get in there to make plays, they leave you in there to make plays. So you never know.
Yeah.
But hey, we broke some news there. Kay Prabula might be coming on the sidelines with you guys.
We're hoping. Let's put a little pressure on that. He thinks that he's a grown up now that he's too busy for things, but we'll see how things transpire.
Wasn't he doing an NIL deal too? Wasn't he has some kind of business around that?
Yeah, so he's working through the Inch & Co. team with the NIL stuff, and that's where he's again establishing his business or his employment. So
really good quarterback from Central York, and I had a really good career. Went and played in college, a couple schools. So, well, Josh, look, we kept down here long enough, man. It's good to catch up with you. Appreciate, you know, everything. Looking forward to seeing your guys out there on the field and excited to see what you got. You got 130, man. You know, that's a big number. So I'm excited to see what you guys bring out there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a good product.
Well, we appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, everybody, that's Coach Josh Oswald from Cumberland Valley. And guys, what did we learn? What are we thinking?
I don't think we're ever surprised that CV has those numbers. You can also hear Josh Oswald's a very football coach's football coach, right? He won't commit to the team. He won't commit to, you know, saying we're going to be really good or anything. He's got an Alabama committed tackle, a guy that's another defensive end that Ross Tucker's hyping up. And he's saying, oh, we'll see what happens. And I mean, you kind of get it, right? Talking about the division they're going to be playing in this year, you really don't want to guarantee anything. But they're a team that I feel like, as long as the last few years, we've been really intrigued by their kind of progress, right? Feels like they've had that last year. One of the big questions that they kind of wrestled with all year was replacing Isaac Sines, who did so much from 2 years ago. This year, they'll have some more guys replace. Alex Sauve is going to be a big hole to replace, as is Caden Pines, and as well as Bryce Starrett at running back. So they have some big holes to replace, but man, sure helps having Big Oak on the offensive line, Noam Bazulka on the defensive line. I think Grant Shepley is back at quarterback, if I'm not mistaken. We didn't really talk to him too much, but I believe he's a senior, so they might have some continuity there. But man, we're going to get Cumberland Valley, Bishop McDevitt, Cumberland Valley, Harrisburg, Cumberland Valley State College. We forgot about Cumberland Valley, Cedar Cliff, which I'm excited. I think that's going to be a fun game too. I've always said I think that Cedar Cliff program is run about as well as any in the mid-Penn. We're in for a fun season. I think it just kind of got the juices flowing a little about that Commonwealth division.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you know, you look at the losses to a Cumberland Valley, got, you know, like really like pulse guys, like, you know, Sauve, you know, up there, middle linebacker, Caden Pines, of course, they're both going to continue their career at Shippensburg. I think it'll be interesting, too. You know, Caden Shonley's a kid who sort of emerged, you know, Cumberland Valley. Brian, you mentioned the amount of kids, you know, Coach said 130 plus. That could be in line for uniforms come the fall. So, you know, you got to find those guys to keep the sort of train running in the right direction. So I don't have any doubt that Cumberland Valley will have, you know, three or four of those guys sort of pop up that maybe no one's really heard about, you know, in August. But by the end of September, you're like, oh, who are these guys? So, you know, you're definitely going to need those guys against the tough schedule that's coming up. In the Commonwealth, you've always needed it in the Commonwealth, and now it's just a little bit bigger and a little bit bolder with McDevitt and Cedar Cliff in the mix. So, I think you always look forward to what Cumberland Valley sort of is going to bring. They were so sort of so much scheme, during the Tim Riffle years there. And then Mike Whitehead, of course. So and now they're a little bit more wide open, a little bit more athletic, I think, in their offensive scheme. But to me, for them to kind of make hay, it's got to start defensively. That's where they've been. That's where the rubber sort of met the road last year. And they really made strides in that in the last 5-6 weeks of the season. So, they'll need to do that again. So Bazulka, a guy like Bazulka, Dan mentioned, is going to be a key guy for them, a really key guy. And of course, you know, Big Oak just keeps exploding. And I'm sure he's going to get turned around and play a little defensive tackle as well.
They were not a good football team the first 4 or 5 games last season. And I talked to Josh last year about that. And they felt like there were some extenuating circumstances around it. But they really, I think, towards the end of the season, put it together and maximized their potential. I mean, they gave Manheim Township a little bit of a fist fight there for a while. Manheim Township was really good, ended up losing to Harrisburg. So it's a good program. The 130, I mean, look, that's rare. I mean, we're not hearing a lot of teams in 2024 that are having to have a combine to figure out who they can keep and who they can get in the weight room. So, you know, that's great. At the same time, it's probably a little bit of pressure because, you know, one of the things, if you do struggle, you can't say, well, we didn't have enough numbers, because you got numbers. I mean, as good as anybody that I've heard, maybe in the state right now.
Well, it's that state. You got two of them in the Commonwealth. I mean, State College is traditionally a huge roster. You know, they have to evaluate every week who's going to travel. They got 100 uniforms. So which 100 guys are traveling, you know? So, again, that's the greatest problem you can have as a coach, is that bodies, because it makes your practices that much more competitive. You got guys who are hungry. You got a lot of rising underclassmen who want to take their shot and break into the starting lineup. So you've got all these intangibles now that you can do, particularly, you know, early, particularly guys in the spring, you know, as you know, they start up this combine camp early next month, and then, you know, take them in the spring practice. So
yeah, and that offense is going to be fascinating too, because I'm not a math major. None of us are, I don't think, but I have a feeling the percentage of yardage lost from receiving and rushing, losing Caden Pines, Adam Somerville, and Bryce Starrett is probably close to like 90% of the total yards. I believe Brody Pines is going to be back, Caden's younger brother. He'll probably be one of their top receivers, but man, there are going to be a lot of chances for one of those 130 kids to kind of, I don't think anyone's replacing that production Bryce Starrett gave them. That kid,
no,
that kid left everything out on the field every single run. He was really fun to watch, and they're definitely going to miss him, and they're going to have to figure out ways to move the ball, because that was pretty much how they moved the ball. The passing game developed as the year went a little bit, but it was still the Bryce Starrett show when everything came down to it. So there is, you see why they're having a combine, right? They need to figure out who's going to replace all of that production. The defense, so I agree, I think that defense is going to be really good. And the line is just Tyler Merrill being another year older, kind of leading that group. The line's probably going to take a step forward, even losing a bunch of key pieces from there too. So that'll help. But yeah, that offense is going to be fascinating to watch, because it's going to be a lot of new faces, or maybe somewhat familiar faces, but faces that, you know, kind of like Bryce Starrett's, where I believe last year was like his junior year was a 900, 800 yard rusher. All of a sudden, 2,000, almost 2,000 yards. So, going to be really interesting to watch them. And again, we get it, just adding McDevitt just creates so many, it just creates like six or seven interesting matchups that we didn't have last year because they were playing in the Keystone. Now, all of a sudden, we get pretty much a marquee matchup every week now with McDevitt joining the conference. So can't wait.
Yeah, so props to Coach Oswalt. Obviously, you know, seems to have the program going in the right direction with numbers. We've seen some good things out of them. You know, props to him too. Put him on the spot a little bit there with one of my bugaboos about the big 33 selection. I think he had a pretty good answer.
I mean, it sounds like he's considering it just as much as – and it seems like they're obviously aware of the issue. And
yeah.
Yeah.
He had a good answer, and, you know, East West game, I think they're going to be talented. We really didn't get into that with him. We talked about it. I think the East West rosters are pretty darn good too. Maybe even comparable to the big 33 roster this year. So should be a couple good games, guys. I think we got a podcast. Dan, tell them how to find you on social media.
Dan_Sostick.
Epler, tell them how to find you.
@3Jacker on X.
And I'm @SportsBobbyLender. And as always, check us out on PennLive.com. A lot of spring sports coverage. And until next week, we'll see you then.
The UPMC sports medicine experts in Central PA are here to help keep you in the game and improve your quality of life, no matter your age or activity level. Visit upmc.com/centralpasportsmed to learn more.